to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource on the web at lake-link.com, and by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. I'm Dan Small, and Jeff Kelm is with me again this week. Jeff, how's it going?
Good, very good. I didn't do much this last week to be able to talk about, so I don't have much of a report, but I know you've been real busy, haven't you?
I have been busy. I hope you did a little sunbathing, though, last week.
Oh, it was
I think that's the end of it.
Oh, boy.
The end of it. Well, last weekend, I got ready for my big musky trip that's coming up this week.
Okay.
I got some tinseltail spinnerbaits from Tom Krager, as his brother Mike and another guy have taken over distribution of this company's baits, and they gave me some, and they say this is all they fish with when they fish muskie. So I said, well, I will throw them in my arsenal, but I don't know if it's going to be my only bait. I fished Random Lake on last Saturday morning, and I thought there was a tournament there. I mean, there must have been 20 rigs.
Wow.
And I talked to a couple guys. I saw one fish, personally, but I talked to a couple guys. So one guy who caught two and another guy who had three or four follows on topwater before the crowd got there. But it was a popular lake, I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah, you usually got enough guys out there. But right now, with the cooling down a bit, the muskies picking up, I'm sure it becomes very popular.
I think it's going to be better as the fall goes on, with especially with suckers.
Yep.
And then Deadeye and I had to take out one of Brad Karstad's hydrojet-powered canoes, and we went up the Sheboygan River Sheboygan Falls River Park there, upstream as far as we could paddle, and then it got kind of rocky, so we drifted back down, and I threw some of those tinsel tails, caught a halfway decent smallmouth and a small northern pike. So, I broke the ice with those.
I was going to say, you christened them, huh?
Yeah, absolutely, christened them. But I'll tell you what, this week I'm looking forward to 4 days of musky fishing with my brother Mike and brother Pete and cousin Brad Small and son John. They're all converging on the Hayward area after Mike and I fish in the Park Falls area for 2 days with Wendy Williamson and Larry Mann. We're going to do some drift boat fishing and fly fishing for muskies.
Oh, very cool.
Then we're doing some TV with Roger LePenter and Steve Cervenka, doing the same thing. So I want Mike to get a day of drift boat fishing under his belt before we turn the TV camera on him. And then the whole gang is going to participate in the University of Esox, which is Steve Hiding and Jim Sarek of Muskie Hunter Magazine's Muskie University, basically,
is
what it amounts to.
Cool.
So we had Steve on, oh gosh, months and months ago talking about that, and I will definitely either record some interviews with him while I'm up there, or we'll get him on the phone when I get back.
All right. Well, we got a great show today, don't we?
Absolutely, we do. We're going to talk to Jay Diogenio of YourTailgateParty.com. We missed him at the Packers game when they lost to Atlanta a couple weeks ago.
I hear he's a Seattle Seahawks fan, though, so
we'll have to rub it in a little bit. What he has to say about that game. And we'll talk with Adrian Wideven of the DNR. He's the non-game specialist. He's going to talk to us about wolves and moose, because they're both in the news lately. And then we'll talk with Jim Hayat, a board member of the Rough Grouse Society, about a special program to get disabled youngsters into the outdoors. And we'll talk with Brittany Zabraski, who is a 13-year-old girl who actually hunted grouse for the first time this past weekend, and she's got a good story to tell. And then we'll catch up with Brian Long up in Glidden, Wisconsin, and see how the muskies are doing up there in Ashland County. All that and more right after this.
Available now in stores and dealers near you, Ironclad Soft Bait Brands, as seen and demonstrated around the U.S. at major trade shows, Ironclad Soft Baits are taking the sport fishing industry by storm.
Discover why Bassmaster Magazine lists Ironclad's a hot lure buy for 08. And why Ironclad's won the overall Best in Show Award at the Chicagoland Outdoor Show.
Take it from 2007 Co-Angler of the Year in the American Bass Anglers Grand Slam Series, Billy Applin.
Ironclad bait, they give me that competitive edge, win tournaments day in and day out.
Discover why nearly indestructible Ironclads are ushering in the soft bait revolution.
Or take it from Thomas Jones, 2007 National Champion of the American Bass Anglers Fishing Tour.
Yeah, I've caught 16 bass on one Ironclad lure in 3 hours.
Anglers, ask for Ironclad soft bait brands at stores and dealers near you.
Available online at buyironclads.com or call toll-free
877-513-3535.
I spent a lot of time in the great outdoors, and I found that nothing cooks better or faster than a Camp Chef modular cooking system. It's great for cooking, grilling, frying, or even smoking. And these heavy-duty kitchens are built to go anywhere. Plus, if your power goes out, they're perfect as an emergency kitchen. Want to make a good thing that much better? Try customizing your Camp Chef kitchen with a complete line of accessories. So if you want high performance from a great portable kitchen, make Camp Chef your choice for great outdoor meals.
Camp Chef's lineup of outdoor cooking gear can help you prepare great meals outdoors anytime, anywhere. Slow smoke ribs in the smoke vault on a lazy afternoon. Get camp meals done fast and tasty with an Explorer stove. And be the envy of every other tailgater at the game using the big gas grill. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. Now in your neck of the woods at Cabela's, Dick's, Gander Mountain, Lowe's, Mills Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse, and other fine outdoor retailers.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society, toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Well, we cleaned it off and tidied his score. Not counting spread, he went 224. Drop times, kickers, and stickers galore. Another full summer to grow some more big buck.
This next report is brought to you by Midwestern Shooters Supply, located at Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira, Wisconsin, on the web at mwshooters.com. And Jeff, you know, wolves were recently put back on the endangered species list by U.S. District Judge Paul Friedman in Washington, overturning that Bush administration decision to remove them in the western Great Lakes region from the list. And we thought it would be good to get Adrian Wideven, Wisconsin DNR's wolf specialist and non-game specialist, on the line to help explain this.
Yeah, it's something that I think everybody has an opinion on one way or another about good, bad, should they be on the list, should they be hunted, or can they be hunted, and things like that. So, yeah, it's an important thing to the state of Wisconsin right now.
So, Adrian, help us sort this out. What's the reaction, what's the official reaction to that decision?
Well, the DNR is very disappointed in this decision. We felt we had a good conservation plan in place. We felt it was broadly accepted by members of the public. We had a fairly flexible system. We could issue permits to landowners that were having problems with wolves. Landowners were able to shoot wolves that are attacking pets or livestock on their property. We had the services of USDA Wildlife Services being able to remove and euthanize problem wolves. And we were starting to have some discussions of, you know, what whether we could or consider a public harvest. But all of those things are pretty much off the table at this point.
Well, what's going to happen now? Are you going to try to appeal?
The appeal will have to be through the Fish and Wildlife Service because it's their action that they delisted wolves and turned the management over to the states and to the tribes, and so we'll be waiting and working with them for an appeal. But that would be our suggestion. We're working on strategies of how this might be done, working with our legal people, but it's our hope that this is appealed and overturned so that we can go back to a state-managed species.
And if it's not, then what?
There may be efforts to try to do a whole new delisting process. We may have to explore whether we need to create a new distinct population segment for the western Great Lakes area that would be just listed as threatened. We would be looking at other possibilities. Our big initial thrust will be to get them back off the list totally and return management to the state, but if that's not possible, we'll look at other possibilities. In the meantime, we also will be seeking a permit by the state to allow us some limited lethal controls on problem wolves. We hope that permit would be available sometime in the spring that would allow DNR and USDA Wildlife Services to trap and remove euthanized depredating wolves on people's property.
Okay. Well, we will keep tabs on that and probably talk to you again when and if anything changes there. But another large critter has been in the news in northern Wisconsin and in the UP lately, and that's moose. And I understand that moose fall under your management responsibility as well.
That's right. It's one of the non-game mammals that I deal with. And our moose populations haven't done very well in Wisconsin. Generally, we have 20 to 40 moose. But this year, this fall, we are had some interesting observations, several moose visiting urban areas and giving a lot of people a really interesting observation.
Well, I know because, you know, I used to teach at Northland College, and some friends of mine up there sent me photos, and here's this moose wandering across campus, across the soccer field, past the building I used to work in, and that's pretty unusual. And then there was one in Park Falls, I understand.
That's right, one in Park Falls, one in Ashland. There was one in Lakewood in northern O'Connell County last week, and a couple of weeks ago there was one in downtown Hurley as well. So several moose that seem to be visiting urban areas. We're assuming these are young males during the rutting season that do a lot of long-distance traveling, and sometimes I guess they get a little disorientated, and some of them did kind of wander through a few city areas and small towns.
Now, were the majority of these moose being able to be kind of ushered out of the area, or did these moose have to be taken care of otherwise?
These moose were all able to leave on their own and wander back into the forest, and I haven't heard anything of any of them anymore, so I'm assuming they're roaming about in the forest somewhere right now.
Well, that's good, because there was one in Ishpeming, Michigan, that they had to euthanize because it was running around the streets and endangering people, I guess.
That was, I believe, a cow with some calves, and, mm-hmm. and yes, a cow moose with calves can be one of the most dangerous land mammals in North America, so that does pose a dangerous situation, and if they're right in an urban area, that may be a situation where, unfortunately, the DNR people did have to euthanize her.
Well, we appreciate that report, and deer hunters and other hunters who might happen to stumble across a moose up in northern Wisconsin have to know that they're protected and not something they can shoot.
They are protected, and we do urge people to report those observations. That's how we track and monitor our moose population. So if anybody does get the enjoyable opportunity to see a big moose out in the woods, let us know where you saw it and what time and those kind of things, and enjoy the observation.
And be careful with them, because they can be dangerous.
Well, especially the cows with the calves. Don't get,
right.
get between a cow and her calves.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Adrian.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you again.
Yep. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you. That was Adrian Wideven, a DNR non-game specialist, and this report was brought to you by Midwestern Shooters Supply, located at Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira, Wisconsin, on the web at mwshooters.com. Jeff, it's time for another fishing report, brought to you this time by Mercury Outboards, Mercury number one on the water, and by Crestliner Boats, available at Cedar Lake Sales in West Bend. And this is also our Ashland Area Fishing Report, brought to us by the Ashland Tourism Council, on the web at visitashland.com. And Brian Long is with us once again of Glidden, Wisconsin. Brian's a muskie guide up there. And Brian, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good this last week or so.
Oh, that's good. How's the turnover progressing?
Well, we're pretty close to the end of it. But the water temperature has been hovering between 50 and 45 degrees, and usually by 45 degrees, these small stain lakes that I spend a lot of time on mm-hmm. are pretty much turned over.
Mm-hmm. Now, people don't realize that there are some really quality musky lakes in Ashland County. They think of the bigger lakes over, say, Namekagon down in Bayfield County, or Chippewa Flowage in Sawyer County, or all those other Sawyer County lakes. But Ashland's got some really good musky lakes, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. You know, I do fish the Namekagons and some of the bigger lakes in the Vilas County area, but some of the nicest lakes I fish are the smaller stained waters of Ashland County.
Uh-huh. Okay. So what do you do this time of year then?
Well, the later the season gets, the colder the water becomes. And to be honest, the most effective way to put muskies in the boat, and I have to do that as a guide, is to fish some live bait.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we still cast, but live bait is more prevalent this time of year than it is, say, a month or so ago.
Now, there's a lot of ways to rig live bait. I guess, what would you suggest to do
something like that for muskie action?
Well, almost everyone quick sets now. And what that means is that you use a rig that has treble hooks and some kind of an attachment to the sucker's nose that breaks away.
Mm-hmm.
And upon the set, the muskie will grab it, and he'll start to swim away. And as he swims away, you set the hook almost immediately. The front hook breaks away, and the trebles in the side of the muskie pull loose. It's like hooking a muskie in a bucktail or any other artificial lure. And the advantage of this is many-fold. First of all, and most importantly, the muskie isn't killed. They have found out that by letting the muskie swaddle the single hooks that most of those fish die, which I think most of us knew.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is in the fall that the fishing windows are not that long. You know, you might have a window or two for an hour where the muskies bite. And if you were waiting with a single hook like we did in the old days for 40 minutes or so, you might be waiting on a small fish, whereas there's a 50-incher ready to bite around the corner.
Uh-huh.
So the quick sets are the way to go.
Okay. Plus you hook them in the mouth where you can unhook them.
Absolutely. And it's very important to have a big net with a rubberized cord and the netting so it doesn't hurt the fish. And I use a big Frable. It's just a wonderful net. And a pair of long-handled needle-nose pliers is a must, because sometimes one of the treble hooks might be in the fish and one in the net, and it's kind of a tricky situation getting the hooks out of the fish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, and they don't always hold still for the operation.
No, they don't.
So where are they this time of year before they end up in your boat?
Well, as the water cools and the lakes have turned over, a good percentage of the bigger fish have moved to the deeper parts of the lake. And a good place to start is finding the steepest drop-off. I'm not saying every muskie in the lake is there, but a good percentage of them are on the deepest water.
Okay, and then how do you fish that?
Well, what I do is I use 8-foot fiberglass rods from St. Croix, and the reason I use the glass rods is that I had bad experiences earlier with cold weather and the graphite rods breaking.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's just something that happened then, but I use the big St. Croix glass rods.
Okay.
And I use a Power Pro line,
mm-hmm.
So it's a quick, hard set. And you can fish them a series of ways. If there's a lot of stuff on the bottom, you almost have to use some kind of a bobber.
Okay.
And the bobbers I use are these elongated, large slip bobbers. And for two reasons, you can adjust the depth, and also, the fish does not feel the resistance of, like, a round bobber.
Right.
The other way is you can just drift or roll troll the suckers on a line without any bobber, just free line them, which a lot of times is my favorite way if I can get away with it, if the bottom's not too obscured. Or you can even vertically jig the suckers.
Hmm. Okay. Now, do you have trouble finding suckers this time of year, or are they pretty easy to find?
Well, the right size ones have been a little bit of a trouble. I like them like 14 inches or 15 inches, so the quick set works very good.
Uh-huh.
And I usually call ahead to the bait dealers, letting them know, you know, the amount of suckers I need, and try to set things up so I do have good suckers.
Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate that report, and I think we'll be checking in with you at least one more time here before the end of muskie season and deer season coming up. So, meanwhile, good fishing, and stay warm out there.
Okay, thank you.
All right. That was Brian Long of Glidden, Wisconsin, and this was the Ashland Area Fishing Report, brought to you by Ashland Tourism, on the web at visitashland.com, and it's also our fishing report brought to you by Mercury Outboards, Mercury, number one on the water, and by Crestliner Boats, available at Cedar Lake Sales in West Bend. Well, this portion of our show is brought to you by Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors, on the web at campchef.com. And, Jeff, what better way to cook outdoors than to tailgate?
I love tailgating. It's got to be one of the best things in the world to look forward to when it gets to that fall season, that,
uh-huh,
of course, Packer season. You got to look forward to the tailgating.
And speaking of football, we've got Mr. Football Tailgate on the line here, Jay DiEugenio of YourTailgateParty.com. Jay, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, we're feeling a lot better. The Packers had a great weekend last weekend, and we're looking forward to
More great football coming down the road. Now, you were in Green Bay a couple of weeks ago for the Atlanta game, and we missed you at that game. But tell us what you're doing this year at all these events.
Well, this year, just like every other year, I go out and I travel the country and I tailgate a different stadium every week. And basically, for me, it's learning what I can pick up in that region. So in Green Bay, learning what Green Bay fans do out there tailgating. And you know what? It's all about wild game up in Green Bay.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Wild duck. I mean, I had the best,
yeah,
the best skinless wild duck, grilled wild duck with some wild rice with mushrooms in them. And it was unbelievable.
Cool.
So good. A lot of venison, a lot of bear brats, of course. We had some bear brats out there, and just a really great time.
I got to find the tailgaters that you're finding, because all I find is the regular brats. Not that that's a bad thing, but I'm not finding the venison or the duck or anything.
Well, you had
some
pretty exotic stuff this time, too, didn't you? Did somebody bring you something really wild? What'd you have?
We had ostrich, actually, and it was emu. It was emu or... I don't know, one of those big llama-looking creatures,
right.
But really, really tasty, really good. Just grilled with a little salt and pepper, and that was it. It was really tasty.
Wow. I mean, I can imagine the breast meat on an ostrich.
Got
to be some pretty plentiful.
Absolutely. And an egg would feed the whole Packers offensive line, I think, wouldn't it?
I got this big lumberjack skillet too that I've been wanting to cook an ostrich egg in.
Is that right?
And the thing is just huge, like 22-inch.
Yeah.
It's like 5 inches deep, and I just want to cook an ostrich egg in that thing. That'd be fun.
Absolutely. Now, Cindy Overton does recipes regularly with us in the summer and in early fall, and I've been to cookouts where she has done some stuff with that Camp Chef lumberjack skillet. That's just a phenomenal tool. And you travel with other Camp Chef cooking gear too, don't you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Of course, I have my grill, my triple burner there, and I love that thing. And I have the big skillet that goes on that. So I do, when I pull up in the parking lot early morning, 5-6 o'clock in the morning, I'll do bacon and eggs, and then use that bacon grease to cook pancakes in. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Wonderful!
Mm-hmm.
This is perfect.
Oh, it sounds great. You have a cookbook, which is a pretty unusual cookbook. Just as your tour is unusual, it's called. I got your tailgate party right here, right?
Yeah, it's a collection of recipes from the fans themselves. Basically, what we'll do is, and Camp Chef was really generous. They provided a grill and a bunch of cast iron stuff and all kinds of stuff to give away. In every parking lot that we go to, we hold a tailgating taste-off.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to enter, you just have to bring over the recipe, a sample of your food. We get some local judges, people in the parking lot to judge, and it's recipes by the fans, voted on by the fans from the actual parking lot on game day.
Wow.
And so we've collected these over the past 4 years and put them in a couple books. We have an NFC version and an AFC version. So just great food, great people, and you know, you never know what you're going to find when you walk out there in the parking lot. New cooking method or new food or different way to cook food. It was pretty phenomenal.
Now, last year when you were in Green Bay, somebody brought you barbecued raccoon, right?
Yeah, that's right. Barbecued raccoon. That was it was cooked like a pulled pork, you know, in a barbecue sauce, and it was shredded up and put it on a bun. And of course, in Green Bay, they serve everything with a side of cheese. So
absolutely,
it was good. It didn't taste like it sounds.
Uh-huh.
You know, people think it's barbecued raccoon. Yuck.
Yeah,
that was good.
No,
it was really good.
It's edible, certainly edible. Now you've already been through Green Bay, but you're going to other stadiums, and folks can follow you on your website, yourtailgateparty.com. What should they look for, Jay?
Well, if you go in there and you look at, you can see pictures and stories and blogs and all kinds of stuff from every place we've ever been. You just got to find the right day, and it says 2008 in the lots, and that's my schedule is posted on there.
Mm-hmm.
You can see pictures and stuff from when I was in Green Bay. They're up online already with a little story, and that's basically what they're looking for. So you can go on there and you can find out where I'm going to be. You know, the next game I'm going to is a Monday night game in Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
Against the Colts, and if you want to come out and hang out with me in the lot, love to have you guys. You know, and anybody can follow me to any game. Love to have everybody. My RV is always open to anybody who wants to come by and say hey.
Now, your RV is pretty easy to find, isn't it?
It is. It's 43 feet long. It's got four flat panel TVs, a big 52-inch on the outside. It's got a full commercial kitchen that opens up into the parking lot in the back. It's got a grill that slides out. And mine, you can always find my RV because I have about 20 Camp Chef grills set up in a row.
Right.
Yeah, because it sounds like it would be really hard to find without the Camp Chef grills, you know.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I got two restrooms in there, so ladies, feel free to come on out and use the potty. You don't have to find those porta potties.
That's good. That's another incentive. And I understand you're going to raffle this RV at the end of this season?
Yeah. It's good. I call it Jay's Take My Ride Challenge. Mm. And Phil Gordon and Ray First raised $90,000 in back 04 for the Prevent Cancer Foundation. And I was talking with Phil Gordon, and he challenged me to raise $100,000 by the time I hit Super Bowl this year out in the parking lot. So I accepted, of course, and the only way I know how to do that is I'm raffling off my RV. So you can go right online, yourtailgateparty.com, check out pictures inside and out, and you can actually just buy a raffle ticket right online.
Fantastic. Now, does that mean you're going to retire this year if you get rid of the RV?
Oh no, I'm gonna have to get another one. But that's okay.
Okay. Well,
darn, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll follow your schedule more closely next year, and we'll get you on before the Packer game so people can look for you and say hello for us.
Gotcha.
All right.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed last week's game because you got the Packers in Seattle, and I'm a Seahawks fan.
I know. I wasn't going to tease you with that, but you brought it up, man. So.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? It's ridiculous.
Anyway, well, I'm sure they'll have a better game or two ahead. I hope they do anyway, now that we're done with them.
I sure do. Now that you're done with them. Okay. That was the important thing, right? You
Absolutely.
Guys have to beat them, and then everyone else can lose.
Yeah. Listen, you have a great rest of the season, and gosh, folks, look for Jay and his bus or his RV at games and at the Super Bowl, and we really appreciate you taking time out from your schedule to talk to us.
Oh, anytime, guys. Love Green Bay, love Wisconsin, and I guess go Pack since my Seahawks aren't doing well.
There you go. All right. Thanks a lot, Jay.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You bet. That was Jay DiEugenio of yourtailgateparty.com, and this report was brought to you by Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors, on the web at campchef.com.
LakeLink, the hottest website in the great outdoors, just keeps getting better and better.
Log on and get all the latest fishing reports posted by fishermen just like you. Check out LakeLink's hunting forums, great recipes, product reviews, moon charts, pros pointers, and weather center.
LakeLink has been providing up-to-the-minute hunting and fishing reports for over 10 years.
As a member of LakeLink, you'll have access to lake maps that you can customize. You can add rock bars, weed lines, and other structure not shown on printed maps. And LakeLink will put GPS coordinates on your map to mark your spots.
You can also sell your used fishing gear at the online trading post and have fishing reports sent directly to your computer.
The LakeLink Advantage program offers discounts to LakeLink members at outdoor establishments throughout Wisconsin and beyond.
You can also catch us, Dan and Judy, on the LakeLink radio page. That's lake-link.com, keyword radio. Listen to this week's show or catch any of our past shows and send us your ideas or enter our weekly drawings for great giveaways. All on the lake-link.com, keyword radio.
Milford Hills Hunt Club near Johnson Creek features Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility and much more. Milford Hills is open to the public Tuesday through Sunday for upland bird hunting and fine dining in a first-class lodge restaurant. Let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, fundraiser, wedding, or bachelor party. Check them out on the web at milfordhills.com or call 920-699-2249. That's milfordhills.com or 920-699-2249.
Midwestern Shooters Supply is the place to go for great deals on all your outdoor gear. Stop in today at the corner of Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira or check them out online at mwshooters.com. Save 20% now on all camouflage clothing. Get ready for the antlerless deer hunt October 16th through 19th. Stop in for great prices on guns, ammo, and accessories. Are you sighting in your rifle or shotgun? Check out these October specials. Get two pairs of earmuff hearing protectors for $10. And you can save 20% on all other hearing protection and targets. And if you need a rifle, shotgun, new scope, or other accessories, Midwestern Shooters Supply has plenty of choices at great prices. Don't wait until November, or what you want might not be available. Visit Midwestern Shooters Supply today. Call 920-269-4995 or shop online at mwshooters.com. That's 920-269-4995 or mwshooters.com.
Well, it's time, Jeff, for our No Child Left Inside segment.
All right.
Brought to you by Balestrieri Environmental, working to assist their clients in reducing their exposure to environmental liability and hazards. And it's also our Ruffed Grouse Society segment, celebrating more than 45 years of habitat improvement for ruffed grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife, on the web at ruffedgrousesociety.org. And we put these two sponsors together on this segment because we have Jim Hayat on the line, and Jim is an avid grouse hunter and a member of the board of directors for the Ruffed Grouse Society. And Jim, I understand you just got back from the National Ruffed Grouse and Woodcock Hunt last weekend up in Minnesota.
Yep, that's correct. Just got back and had quite a time up there. We had a pretty good event overall, and weather was so-so, but it was a good time.
Uh-huh. Now, what happens on this hunt? Obviously, you hunt grouse.
Well, the hunt, this particular hunt now is on its 27th anniversary, and it's really designed for two purposes. One of them is it's the largest study of its kind for grouse and woodcock.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is it's kind of a fundraiser for the Ruffed Grouse Society. Is the grouse hunter knows there's really no other organization of any magnitude or size of ours, certainly not the government. I'm not beating on the government, but the DNR can't do the studies. But we do study the grouse and woodcock, and at the same time, we do have a fundraiser because we need to raise money for these studies and for grouse habitat.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand you brought a special partner along on this hunt and under a special program. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yes. Well, 3 years ago, one of the huntsmen up at the National Grouse and Woodcock Hunt, and by the way, if anyone's interested ever going on that hunt, you can by becoming a certain sponsor, and you mentioned the website. You can just go on the website and
get
into that. But 3 years ago, we decided to have our little make-a-wish type situation and bring a disabled child on a grouse hunt. And it was started by a gentleman up there named Jerry Snetzinger in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, who's donated his time for 26 of the 27 years on helping us find grouse and woodcock.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided, now that he retired from Minnesota Power and Light, to bring this disabled child. And for 3 years we have. This is the third year, and it was my turn, since I'm on the board of the directors of that organization under the Ruffed Grouse Society called Under Broken Wings.
Uh-huh. Okay, and who did you bring?
Well, I brought a little girl, a 13-year-old, Brittany Zabrowski. Ironically, we found her through a national organization, the United Sportsmen's Alliance, United Special Sportsmen's Alliance, which helps find young kids for hunts. And we contacted them, and they found Brittany, and she lives a half mile from my house here in Hartford.
Darn. Okay. And how was the hunt for her?
The hunt was outstanding. In fact, I'll tell you, Dan, you're going to be a little surprised on this. That little girl, she shot her first grouse on her first shot.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, she brought her brother along and her mom and dad, and we organized a team. And like I said, there are two main purposes of this national hunt. But there's a third one in there, of course, which we all like, is the competition.
Mm-hmm.
We get to shoot the birds, and they get the biologists get to dissect the birds and check the age and the sex and everything else so we can determine the grouse cycles. But we get to have fun and shoot the birds, and there's competition. And it's tough. There's a lot of, you got to remember, there's a lot of good teams
there. A lot of good shots, I'll bet.
50 teams, three divisions. Little Brittany with my team and her brother and her mom finished in second place.
No kidding.
I'm not kidding you.
Wow.
It's the highest finish I've had in my about 15 years I've been going there.
Wow. You better take her back.
Well, her and her brother, we're thinking about it, actually.
Uh-huh.
We'd like to get first place next
year. Yeah.
But that was a total surprise to us.
Uh-huh.
It was great.
Well, wonderful. And did you record this for posterity in any way?
Well, not only did we record this, Tom Knapp, everybody probably knows Tom from Benelli, who's on the Outdoor Channel.
Oh, sure.
The guy with the real deep voice, you know, Tom. And he was invited up to our hunt. He put on an exhibition for us. And he said, I'd like to go out and hunt. And sure enough, he said, hey, I'll tape this whole show with little Brittany. And our organization is called Under Broken Wings. And he said he'd love to do it. And sure enough, within the first 5 minutes of the hunt, we're in the woods, cameraman right behind me, and I'm helping Brittany aim her gun, and boom, she shot the gun. I looked around at the cameraman. I said, did you have that on video? He goes, yes, I do.
Wow.
So she's going to, the whole country is going to see this here somewhere in the first 3 months of the year. Don't exactly know the date, but you can go to Tom Knapp TomNatt.net and look into that in the earlier part of the year and find out when it'll be on TV.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, I know Brittany has done some other hunting, and we're going to try to get her on the phone as soon as we finish talking with you here and get her story of this hunt and her other hunts. But is there any other message you want to convey about getting youngsters or disabled folks into the outdoors?
Well, yes. The youngsters, disabled, I don't care what age you are, if you want to have some fun and you've really hunted very little before, go out and do some grouse hunting or any type of hunting, but get the kids out there. Our numbers are dropping. They're dropping dramatically, you know, and our right to maybe bear arms could be taken away someday unless we start getting a movement of getting the young out there, not just into hunting, but the fishing also. It's very important you do this, and that's what we're trying to do. So, yes, we do take up a disabled child, but, you know, if you have the ability to take any child on a hunt, please do so.
All right. Well, Jim, thanks a lot for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us, and we're going to try to get Brittany in just a minute,
okay,
as I mentioned.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. That was Jim Hayat, National Board Member of the Ruff Grouse Society. Well, Jeff, I think we've got Brittany Zabraski on the line. Brittany, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, good to talk to you. We just talked to Mr. Jim Hayat, who hunted grouse with you last weekend, and he said you're quite the shot.
From what I hear, I sure am.
It sounded like you had a lot of fun, too.
I did. I had a heck of a time.
You sure did. Now, have you hunted grouse before?
No.
But you've done some other hunting before?
Yes.
What kind of other hunting have you done, Brittany?
I have done elk, and I got a 300 class 6x6 bull.
Okay.
I did that in New Mexico when I was 8 years old.
Oh my
wow.
goodness!
And I was shooting a 7mm odd 8.
Wow!
Now, how did you handle that size of rifle?
I don't know. You got to ask the guys at McMiller.
Okay.
There were guys, probably your guys' age, both ways down. And my dad put a shell in, and I put on the, I took off the safety, mm-hmm. and I got ready, and I put on my earphones.
Mm-hmm.
When I was sitting there, all the guys were like, God, that kid is tiny. Because I was maybe not even 3 feet, because my cancer really slowed down my growing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I line up, and this guy's just kind of shooting all over the place. And I shoot. The legs come up off the floor and back down off the fold-out chair.
Yeah.
Guys both ways down just lean over, take off their headphones. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. What kind of gun is she shooting? They all get up and come over by me and are like, no, what kind of gun are you shooting? I'm like 7mm out of it. They're like, Jesus.
Yeah. That is awesome, Brittany. That is very, very cool. So now you've done elk, and then one other, I heard Jim said you may have done a bear or so?
I've done two bears.
Oh, okay.
My elk and my first bear were the same hunt.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I got to shoot one out of a tree and then one out of a stand. So.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, why did you choose hunting as something that you wanted to get into? Not many girls do that.
Well, mostly this lady who got me really started was, my dad mostly got me started because he took me out, like, at age, like, 3.
Mm-hmm.
And he would give me horns to rattle.
Okay.
He'd put me in a backpack and we'd go sit in a tree stand.
Okay.
And, I mean, he showed me how to cut open deer, he just showed me how to gut them, he showed me how to do all that stuff, so... I pretty much learned everything from my dad, but Bridget O'Donohue is the coolest lady out there for hunting. She started this hunting charity, and her story of how she got it started is amazing. She went out with her boyfriend and a few other guys that were gonna go that wanted to go hog hunting. Well, she was like, "Well, can I come with you guys?" And they're like, "Yeah, come on." So they get the dogs out. They get on one, and the dogs had the hog down, and they got loose.
Hmm.
Came straight at her guide, cut his leg wide open.
Hmm.
Well, she grabs a knife out of his pocket. He's like, "What are you going to do with that?" She's like, "I'm going to go kill it." And she runs after the thing, jumps on it, stabbing it in the lungs, gets done, and is like, I want to do that again.
Wow.
So that's how she started a charity, and it has kids all the way up to adults that have life-threatening illnesses.
And that is the USSA, right? The United Special Sportsmen's Association, or something like
Alliance.
That? Alliance. Alliance, right. Okay.
Well, and I'm the next person in line for that.
Ah.
Take over the charity.
Okay.
Wow, that is really cool, Brittany. So you've done the bear, the elk, and things like that. Explain to us how the grouse hunt went for you, how that all came to be that day.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah?
That's probably been my eighth hunt I've gone on.
Wow.
And I've been successful. Because I've gotten my elk, my two bear, I've gotten a black buck, a white tail, and a 300-pound hog.
Wow. Okay.
I killed with a knife.
You did that with a knife?
Yeah, I did. Bridget did one, and then she wanted me to do one, so I did one.
All right. You killed a hog with a knife?
Yeah.
How did you do that?
We had nine dogs, and they held his head down.
Uh-huh.
And I walked up behind him. This is probably like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I jump out of the car. I woke up from like a dead sleep. And I jump out of the car. They're like, you're right. I'm like, let's go kick his butt. And we run off into the woods, pitch black out. And Mike, I can't remember his last name. Mike something. Him and Bridget are both kind of in their mid-40s, upper-50s. And they're both like, I can't hear anything. I'm like, I can. They're like, well, lead us to them. And I'm like, they're there. And we walk up there, and then they're like, all right, now where are they? I'm like, there. I led them right to them. They're like, we should use you as the hearing dog.
Yeah.
So that was a heck of a lot of fun. And then we get up there, and he hands me the knife, and he showed me right where to go. They put a few lights on, those headlights, and I walked up behind him and stabbed him right behind his shoulder. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So, Brittany, I understand you have another hunt planned in a few weeks?
Yeah.
Where do you plan on going?
I'm not sure when or where, but they said they're going to try and see if they can get me to use a crossbow.
Oh, really? So very possibly it's another big game animal.
I think I'm doing whitetail again.
Whitetail. Oh, very good.
So, yeah, I'm very excited.
Okay. Well, good luck to you, and if you have some success, let us know, and we'll talk to you again, all right?
All righty.
Thanks a lot, Brittany.
You're welcome.
That was Brittany Zabraski, and that was our No Child Left Inside segment brought to you by Ballister Environmental, working to assist their clients in reducing their exposure to environmental liability and hazards, and by the Ruffed Grouse Society, celebrating more than 45 years of habitat improvement for ruffed grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife on the web at roughgrousesociety.org.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter. Your new Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse is a Wisconsin-owned company that features everyday low pricing with the most knowledgeable staff in the industry. On the rare occasion a local competitor has a lower price, your Sportsman's Warehouse store will do everything they can to meet or beat that price. You'll find the best prices on great brands like Danner, Benelli, Remington, PSE, Browning, St. Croix, Filson, Drake, and many more at Sportsman's Warehouse.
You'll enjoy upland bird hunting at its finest, plus sporting clays and shooting instruction year-round at Milford Hills Hunt Club near Johnson Creek. Milford Hills also has a well-stocked pro shop and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater your special event. Check out the new automated sporting clay system on Sundays from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and enjoy sporting clays now at reduced prices. Winter Sporting Clays League starts January 11th. Milford's fall upland bird hunting season started October 1st for pheasants, chuckers, and Hungarian partridge, with bird specials available. Call now to reserve a date for your personal or group hunting adventure, and you don't need to be a member to hunt or enjoy the bird specials. Let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, fundraiser, wedding, or bachelor party. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's only 5-star shooting facility. Call 920-699-2249 or visit them on the web at milfordhills.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Well, Dan, we look forward to Outdoor Wisconsin on each and every week. What is coming up this next week?
Well, Jeff, next week Judy Nugent is fishing for bass with Ron Urich on Delavan Lake, and I'm taking a look at the new aquaponics aquaculture system for raising perch at Growing Power with Will Allen. You might have heard about him. He received a $500,000 MacArthur grant just a couple weeks ago. So
yeah, you know, I've seen he does a lot of things with that Growing Power.
He does.
Power. They do worms and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, it's great.
And we featured him on Outdoor Wisconsin as well. And then Pat Ehlers of the Fly Fishers is sharing a tip for tying deer hair bass bugs. Well, we've got a lot of events this week, and this week events are brought to you by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com.
That's right. New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse has a high-power reloading class with Billy Branson. It's going to be four evenings. It's Tuesday, October 21st through Friday, October 24th, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. each and every night. Advanced registration is required, but there is no fee for it. There's a basic GPS seminar Thursday, October 23rd at 6:30 p.m., learn how to operate your GPS, and all the Sportsman's Warehouse experts will be there to answer any questions you have. If you got if you want to check out other events at the New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse, you can give them a call at 262-641-2000 or visit them online at sportsmanswarehouse.com.
And the Rough Grouse Society has a couple of events coming up soon. In Alpena, Michigan, there's a steak fry on Wednesday, October 22nd. In Ely, Minnesota, a banquet on Thursday, October 23rd. And in Houghton Lake, Michigan, a banquet Saturday, November 1st. For details on these and other upcoming events, log on to ruffedgrousesociety.org. And Milford Hills Hunt Club's Pumpkin Shootout Registered Sporting Clay Shoot is tomorrow, October 19th. Registration begins at 8 a.m. and the last squad goes out at 3. For information, log on to milfordhills.com or call 920-699-2249.
And, of course, Hunt for the Hungry. We got Buck Fever Night coming up at Stadium View in Green Bay. That's going to be this next Wednesday, October 22nd, 5:30 to 9. Dan and I are going to be there. You can get up there and win a 2008 Polaris Sportsman ATV. They're going to have some gun raffles. There's some exhibitors up there. Admission is free with the donation of a non-perishable food item, and that will go to Paul's Pantry. So, like I said, we're going to be up there. If you want more information, you can log on to huntforthehungry.com.
And don't forget hunting seasons, the antlerless deer hunt, the October hunt in Ernebuck and CWD zones is going on right now.
And herd control.
And some herd control. Check the regs, guys. It's going on right now. Started October 16th, runs through Sunday. And pheasant season also opens this weekend, and remember to wear blaze orange if you're hunting pheasants or doing anything in the woods, and remember that the limit is one rooster per day for the first weekend. And of course there are some hen areas where you can shoot hens and some areas with 2 p.m. closures, so check the pheasant regs either online or in the booklet for all that information. So, Jeff, you're going out this weekend?
I am. I'm going to participate in the October gun hunt in a herd control area that allows the hunting.
Okay. Wear your blaze orange.
That's right.
Control the herd.
That's right. You, Dan?
I'm going to be musky fishing, as I mentioned earlier. I'm spending the weekend up in Park Falls and Hayward, and hoping to bring back some musky stories. And, folks, we talked to Jay DiEugenio earlier, and he offered to give us several of his books, the I Got Your Tailgate Party Right Here book. So if you want to get in on the drawing, call my phone number, 414-297-7554. Leave us your name and phone number, and let's say the first three people who call will be receiving a copy of Jay's book. Well, Jeff, I think that about wraps it up for another week.
I think so.
And, folks, you've been listening to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com. And by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. With Jeff Kelm, I'm Dan Small. Join us again next week.
When the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey.